It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. Scott Luton with Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. It continues our collaboration and partnership with AIAG, the Automotive Industry Action Group, especially with programming related to the 2020 AIAG Supply Chain Summit. So stay tuned as we work really hard to increase your supply chain IQ. And this show right here is going to continue those efforts. So quick programming note before we bring in our special guest here today. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. All right, so with no further ado, let's bring in our featured guest. We're going to be talking with Stephen Britt, Senior Manager for Customs at Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. Steve, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great, Scott. Thank you.
Well, welcome. I'm looking forward to learning a lot more about what you do and kind of from that FCA perspective. But let's start a little bit with, you know, tell us where you're from and maybe touch on your fandom for all things Detroit. And let's talk about a eureka moment from your upbringing. So first off, where are you from, Steve?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I'm from a small town called Lapeer, Michigan, a little over an hour and a half north of Detroit. So grew up there, local to this area, went to school, you know, Oakland University here, and now work in Auburn Hills. So a lot of my life's been in this radius of, say, 60 miles or so.
Love it.
But growing up, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of sports, a lot of activities, a lot of academics, and to the point of eureka moments, it's kind of hard to narrow it down, but I think at a really early age, I kind of figured out that no one's going to give me anything I don't ask for. Mm-hmm. So when I come forward with a solution or a proposal, whether it's getting my parents to raise my allowance or getting the plays changed around in football or getting my job changed even today, right? I find when I really put some thought into it and come with solutions, then we can have a conversation instead of questions, instead of complaining. So that's really my moment I learned and then I still use all the time.
Love that. You know, as my partner in crime likes to say, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you ask for. Yeah. And those can be words to live by for sure. Well, before we dive into what you do in the industry and whatnot, I want to go back a minute. You were talking about lots of sports. Did you play a lot of sports growing up?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I played all the sports I could, right? So, and then like in high school and stuff, I played football and basketball and track and you know, tried to stay busy once upon a time.
Okay, well, quite an athlete. And then academically, you're talking about, you mentioned it a couple of times. What was your favorite subject in school?
I think it was probably social studies, right? Learning about people and cultures and you know, social studies / history, both the current and past perspectives of all the different areas around the world.
Love that. I enjoyed social studies too. And one final note, Oakland University, your alma mater, I believe we've seen them in the NCAA's basketball tourney a couple times in recent years, right?
Yeah, that's correct. They've been there a few times, so they're a scrappy team.
Love it. We all need lots of scrappiness here these days. All right, so let's get to work. Let's talk about what FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, you know, what the company does. Everybody's heard of those major brands, right? But talk a little about the company, and then let's talk more about your role.
Yeah, I mean, we're an automotive OEM, right? So what we do is we build cars and trucks and reach out to customers to try and have real engagement in connection, you know, through our brands, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, of course, Ram truck, and Mopar. So huge support, huge following. And then, of course, our other brands too, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, et cetera. So really cool place. We're a big organization, but kind of like Oakland, right? We're a scrappy group who, you know, that really goes to work and really focused on craftsmanship and quality and building vehicles.
And so obviously you're based, as you've talked about, in the Detroit area. What part of the operations of the enterprise is based there in that area?
Yeah. So our North American headquarters is in Auburn Hills, just north of Detroit. And we're in a facility that can do everything from a concept drawn on a napkin all the way through producing an actual vehicle. So a little bit of everything's there. And then my role is part of supply chain management. We're based out of that facility as well.
Love it. Let's talk more about your role. We certainly love, we're big supply chain nerds here at Supply Chain Now, as you might guess, Steve. Let's talk about your role. So as senior manager for customs at FCA, what do you do? Where do you spend your time each day?
So, I mean, you talk about supply chain nerds. Now you're really talking about customs people, because we're supply chain people, but highly technical. So, I mean, what I'm responsible for is the management of importing and exporting, compliance operations. You know, ultimately our goal is to make sure that our goods can move around as efficiently and transparently as possible, but also at the lowest cost, at the least risk exposure, right? So we're working towards compliance. There's a whole strategic aspect of what we do to kind of minimize our duty exposure, mitigate our risk, make sure we're doing things right. That's the number one thing. And then on the back end, maximize our opportunities through all the various programs that exist in trade to help us generate refunds or savings or things like that.
Well, you know, I think a big part of the discussion at the Supply Chain Summit that AIAG is hosting will be the USMCA and perhaps how that makes the transit of goods and services, at least in North America, across these three wonderful trading partners, a lot easier, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. And in USMCA as a program supports cross-border trade in North America. It's huge. And that consistency and stability it brings, even in replacing NAFTA, where the industry operated for 25 years, is important. But it is a vastly complex program. And depending on your industry, really depends on what the magnitude of your impact is. So we're talking AIAG, we're talking automotive industry, we're highly impacted by USMCA with the new rules, with the new qualification standards. So a lot of education, a lot of outreach, a lot of learning curve for the entire industry. So we, as an OEM, are working and learning internally and adjusting. We're also working with the supply base and pointing them to people like AIAG who can provide real resources and training to help learn about the complexities of the program.
I really wish good legislation could come very succinctly, but it's all in the details, right? Massively. But it's interesting. We've had both Mexican and Canadian diplomats on previous shows with us to talk about some of those details and some of the impact USMCA is going to have. And one of them made a good point. You know, NAFTA was built well before, you know, things like digital freight existed, you know, and didn't really govern elements like that. So we're really looking forward to seeing kind of how USMCA unfolds and how companies and professionals and leaders like yourself kind of figure out all the details and uncover hopefully all the goodness that the trade deal brings to all three countries, because it's kind of a unique market, you know, to have three countries and the relationships they have and the span, the sheer expanse of the market here. And we got to leverage that for everybody's benefit, right?
Right, exactly. And that's the goal, right, to really drive even more of these things. So it's a big challenge operationally to work through all the nuance and details, but it is a big opportunity, not just for organizations, but for the region to continue building on a lot of things.
Agreed. Great point. All right. So one final question about your role before we kind of go global a bit is what's the one favorite aspect of your role that you love the most?
One's tough. I'll narrow it down to two. Okay. One is it's a different job every day, right? We don't know what's going to come out or what's new or what we need to look at or what today's challenges are. So that's exciting. And the reason it's exciting is really my favorite thing's my team. I'm surrounded by a high density of talent. I've got really good folks who I can rely on that lets me sleep at night with all the craziness we're facing in international trade. But that's my favorite thing is working with those folks, whether in person or remote, like we have been. Really good team, really good environment to work in and at a good organization that supports us.
Love it. And I love that how you put it to high density of talent. Did you happen to be an engineer from Oakland?
No.
Well spoken. All right. So let's go global here. So, you know, in a historically challenging year like 2020, there's been no shortage of challenges and developments across industry to pay attention and study and learn from and make decisions with. But, you know, what's one thing in particular here, at least lately, that you have been tracking from a global supply chain standpoint?
Yeah, I think the trade agreements we talked about are a big part of it, but I think they fit. And it's not just trade agreements, right? It's protectionism, it's trade wars, it's Brexit, it's all these things we're seeing across the globe. But to me, that all builds into supply chain resiliency, right? And the design and network, and that's been exacerbated more than anything this year with COVID and the impact and regions to regions and the shutdown. So as we all analyze our supply chains and where our risk is and our weaknesses, and now customs, my group comes in to crossing freight in and out. How do we get things exported? How do we get them imported? It really all ties together. But I think that's the area everybody's looking at from a cost, from a risk, from a timing perspective right now.
So let me ask you, and hopefully this isn't a curveball, but there's so many folks out there that even in supply chain, you know, I spent a little time for a small family-owned manufacturer near the beginning of my career where we brought things in from Canada. And it always made my job a bit harder, and you know, open up my eyes, because that was a blind spot for me. And to a large degree, it still is, even in this interconnected world. What's, you know, for someone that may not be in tune or not having much experience in importing and exporting or the whole customs world, what's one thing that might surprise some of our listeners?
You know, I think it's the overwhelming volume. So most people are aware of customs because something got stuck in customs, or they're crossing a border and they're nervous and they're showing their passport and whatever, right? But the vast majority of customs, the partnership between industry and U.S. Customs and Border Protection itself to really facilitate trade, legitimate trade, right? All the programs you can be part of to make sure that things run smoothly. And you know, I'm lucky, like I said, my team, we do a good job of that. And it's kind of a gift and a curse, because it makes it so easy to move things internationally that on the flip side, you have to educate people to really respect the border. And yeah, we can ship to Canada and we can ship to Mexico and we can do these things very effectively, but we still have to follow process. We still have to have documents. We still have to do the right things. And we do a good job on 99% of the stuff. And it's always the management by exception, right? So that's the biggest thing is the volume, the overwhelming majority of it. If you reach out in your organization and find your experts, you'll find they know a lot, and there's a lot of strategic things they can do to make all of that work a lot smoother.
Mm, well put. Well, so I'll share this little anecdote with you that you might get a kick out of. We've got a series here at Supply Chain Now called Logistics with Purpose, and it's all about really highlighting the logistics and supply chain behind a lot of nonprofits or companies that are doing really good job giving back and giving forward, as we call it. And we were featuring a coffee entrepreneur based in South Georgia here near our neck of the woods. And he was recalling some of his earliest days. And there was one at a certain point in his company's history, there was a point where he was making his biggest coffee purchase from South America ever, coffee beans, right? And he had a little bit of a blind spot when it comes to logistics and customs and whatnot. So he placed it. It was being brought in through Miami, and he had planned on just jumping in his truck and driving down to Miami and picking it up himself, and free and easy, simple, right? He learned the most expensive customs and supply chain lesson, as he put it, from those days and from those learnings. And he looks back and said, that must have been the biggest but the most expensive coffee bean purchase in his company history. But that's, you know, that really illustrates, and I appreciate you answering my earlier question, you know, so many of us have a blind spot when it comes to truly international trade and all that goes in to being able to handle that sheer amount of volume that you just spoke to.
Yeah, it's in company to company where it fits, where an organization like mine fits is different. You know, spiritually, we're close to tax. So in some organizations, you're with tax. And that makes a lot of sense on the compliance side. Operationally, though, you know, some of the tactical, there's actually shipments moving, leads us closer to supply chain. And then in some organizations, it's part of finance, et cetera. So that's one reason. I think even the education program in the world, right, there's not a lot of courses. And I can tell you, I teach a course at a university. We started a few years ago in global supply chain. And the first day, I always ask my students, which are graduate and upper level undergrads, have you guys learned about customs in your other global supply chain classes? And it's generally a resounding no. There's a lot of opportunity there too, I think, to expose it. The current trade environment we've existed in with a lot of these things being in the news, it's the first time in my whole career when I tell someone, hey, I do customs, I manage customs, whatever, that they actually ask questions. They don't just like slowly back away at the party and go find someone else. So, it's quite the opportunity.
It seems like it. It reminds me of George Costanza in Seinfeld, where he always took every opportunity to call himself an importer exporter in some of his moments.
Mandalay Industries.
Yes.
I'm glad. That's the other thing people always say. They're like, oh, so you're an importer and an exporter.
Love it. All right. So before we start to wrap up with some of your thoughts on AIAG, so you teach, which I love that. There's so much give back and give forward in that profession. Give us some good news. You know, I tell you, from my involvement, we've got interns. I hate that word, but so we call them the associates, and we've learned so much from their talent and just their point of view. But give us some good news. As you interact with current and next generation, you know, what are some of the observations that you take from your teaching?
I think the world is a lot smaller to the, you know, future generations. And when I talk to students or our interns or our co-ops or, you know, they've grown up in a digitally connected world. And everyone understands that realistically, you can start an international corporation from your basement. You could be on Etsy selling stuff all over the world or a million other ways, right? So this concept of international trade and customs, as I speak to them, isn't that foreign. They're excited by it. And they have questions about it. And then the shift to digital content and what does that mean, right, with intellectual property and everything else that exists, right, content creation and all these things that, you know, you and I talked about briefly earlier, right? So there's a lot of talent, you know, there's a lot of great ideas. People who really are willing to work and learn and have excitement. So every chance I get, I love to teach and work with the students and things, but selfishly, I like it because I learn a lot from them. It's a great activity.
Love that. Love that. One of our employees that's earlier in his journey, in his first few months with us, I was over explaining in my mind, at least a bit of a complex technology platform in my mind. And I'll never forget, he turns to me after I've been over explaining for probably, you know, 10 minutes, and he looks and says, "Scott, I'm a digital native. I'll figure this out really quick. So I'm good." And it was just such a great lesson learned, but I agree with you. We learned so much from the current generations and next generation and whatnot. All right. So let's talk about AIAG. Clearly we're big fans of the Automotive Industry Action Group. And we like around here, some words that we live by is deeds, not words, right? And you got action in the name, and that's really, it epitomizes what AIAG does. But in your view, in your involvement, your participation, what do you really value about the AIAG community?
Yeah, I think there's two big things. One is the networking, right? There's a lot of like-minded but different individuals involved, and you can learn from partners of all different sizes and shapes and you know, backgrounds to come together and work through common industry issues. The other thing is kind of the drive towards standardization, be that in training opportunities, be it in how we create labels on parts, et cetera. So that's a huge benefit because I know as an OEM, when I'm working with a supplier, they're also working with two or three or five other OEMs too, and where we can consolidate and have similar standards, it allows them to be that much more efficient, which means they get me my answer quicker, just like they get everybody else their answer, which is ultimately what we want. So I think AIAG is a great conduit to those types of things. The trainings, the events, the education, the supply chain summit, the customs town hall, which is the day before it, Those are great industry events with a pretty low barrier to entry, right, for the value perspective. So big fan of it. We're really involved, me and my organization, in what AIAG does. So big fan, love to champion their cause.
Love it. And appreciate your support. You know, AIAG is a nonprofit, I believe, and correct, depends on organizations to help support its operations and all the good work it does across not just automotive, but manufacturing, supply chain, all these, you know, kind of cross-sectional sectors and parts of industry. All right. So toughest question of the day. I'm sure folks are going to want to connect and learn from you a bit. So how can folks connect with you and Fiat Chrysler Automobiles?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way for me personally is I'm on LinkedIn, right, as Steve Britt, easy to find. For the organization, you can go test drive our cars at any of your local dealers. Obviously, we have all our websites, all our major brands. We have fcagroup.com for the overall organization, but real easy to find our products and check out what we're doing.
Love it. Love it. Steve, a pleasure to connect with you. And Dodge is one of your brands, right?
Correct.
You mentioned that. I recalled one of my favorite vehicles I've ever owned was a Dodge Avenger, probably about 20 years ago. I loved that car. And but so many people can connect with the brands you mentioned. So really appreciate what you do. Thanks for taking time with us to share some of your perspective.
All right. Great, Scott. Thank you. Thank you to Supply Chain Now for what you do and helping educate everyone out on the industry and what's going on.
Thanks so much, Steve. So to our audience, we've been chatting with Steven Britt, Senior Manager for Customs at Fiat Chrysler Automobiles and clearly an engaged AIAG member. Thanks so much, Steve. To our audience, hopefully you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Real down to earth. I mean, custom, I love how customs experts can bring it down to earth like that. Supply chain nerds can really, you know, give it to you for the people, so to speak. But if you enjoyed this episode, check us out wherever you get your podcast from. We challenge you just like we challenge our team. Hey, do good, give forward, and be the change that's needed. And on that note, we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.